2 Corinthians chapter 6. Well, in the introduction to it is the 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who know no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. Now, what that says, the approving there, it sounds weird because it seems like, okay, I'm saying I'm approving myself. No, that means that you see yourself only as the minister of God. It doesn't matter whatever, nothing. There's no ever anything else that happens. It doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. It doesn't matter whether it's failure or success. It doesn't matter how, it's your view of life. A minister is a servant. You got that? The word minister means servant, bond servant. Your earlobe has been nailed to the doorpost. You got it? But in all things, approving ourselves as the servants of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Do you understand what love unfeigned means? Unfeigned means unfaked. But it also has the component that it's not... Don't you understand? Every time you second guess your response, it's love feigned, it's faked. Love unfeigned has to have as its primary component the explosiveness of saying whatever is there at all times. Because the love is his love, not yours. You understand? I'm so tired of you walking on tiptoes. All of you. Be careful for nothing. Oh, well, I'm trying to get it right. I'm tiptoeing through the tulips here. You remind me of a bunch of spiritual fairies. Oh, I'm just trying to get it right.
Sounds pretty milk toasty. He did that too well.
Now I know why you're looking at me.
Why?
By love unfeigned. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by good report, excuse me, by evil report and good report, as deceivers, yeah, true. As unknown, and yet well known. As dying, and behold we live. As chastened, and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. as having nothing and yet possessing all things. That is your lot from this moment forward.
All this stuff over four and five, patience, afflictions, necessities, distresses, strikes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings, fastings. It's a distinct lack of things like eating ice cream.
Okay, now go to 2 Corinthians 12. 11:16. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly. And this confidence of boasting, you know what he's doing here? He's setting himself up by saying, what he's about to say to you, it's just pure bullshit. You got it? What?
It sounds a lot like last night's group.
Yeah. Let's go. Okay.
Well said.
Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly. I love that. Suffer means to allow, to permit, to... Okay. You suffer fools gladly, seeing you yourselves are wise. For you suffer or allow it if any man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you in the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though he had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. What?
What, 21?
He's saying, believe it or not, don't take, he's saying, the setup, okay, go back up, I guess we're going to have to study, never mind, go back up to verse 12. What he's doing, he's speaking to about false leaders, okay? False people in Christ. He's talking about those that present credentials, that bring them into bondage, that's what the whole thing, the first part of chapter 11 is about doing all kinds of stuff. You know, like, you give them your money, you try to... You do all these things, and they're a setup, and they have credentials, and he has none, and you know that kind of thing. Okay, then he says, verse 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we are. It means without glory. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, the transforming themselves, the word means to masquerade. You know, the masquerade is they put on a certain face, they act a certain way in order that they can accomplish end objectives. You got it? And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, the minister of righteousness and transforming here is what you automatically do when you try, when you don't explode, when you're not explosive, when you're careful, you by definition are trying to transform yourself into an angel of light. You understand? Mm-hmm. If you take thought for yourself, if you try to get it right, from Paul's perspective, you are trying to transform yourself into an angel of light. And Paul said, it's no marvel, Satan himself did the same thing, and you're a child of Satan. That's pretty heavy duty. Well, I'm just trying to do it right. No, you're not. You're trying to transform yourself into an angel of light. Oh, I'm just trying to do the right thing. No, you're not. You're proving you're a son of Satan. It's either total explosiveness or transforming yourself into an angel of light. Masquerade. Put on a face. And require other people to put on a face because you desire them to be a fair show in the flesh, lest you should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. You got it? Oh, I think you should be different. You suffer fool, but you suffer fools gladly. Now, think of the people that you give homage to in your own lives. You're suffering fools gladly. Understand? Think of the people you'd like to be like. Wouldn't it be nice to be in their situation? You suffer fools gladly. The word says you're the most fortunate of all people on the face of the earth, and yet you pay respect to some dork by your worshiping of his situation or his office or his station in life. You're suffering fools gladly. Verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Now here, this is the part where I want to get to. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, or threat of deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And what it says there is the care of all in the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities, or my weaknesses. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus the governor, under Aretas, the king kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. Through a window in a basket was I let down to the wall and escaped his hands. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. Now he's obviously talking about himself in his revelation. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. You've compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostle, though I be nothing. Anyway. That's our lot, folks. Fucking up is our lot.
Not just fucking up, but fucking up in all locations.
Yeah, even in suffering.
Yeah.
When you're reading that, I'm reading along with you, then maybe getting down near the end, you know, lest I should be exalted but never given a thorn in the flesh. Well, just before you got to that, into my head comes, boy, this really does sound like Olney, you know, and then there's a thorn in the flesh. Yeah.
Who would that be?
He's talked about having a thorn in the flesh. Yeah, it's his jaw, it's his hip. No. It's me. When I got to a messenger of Satan above me. And then, ooh, that's...
But that's what's happened. That's what's happened with everything. There around you are 10,000 messengers of Satan to buffet you. Anytime you glory in strength, they have succeeded. It doesn't matter whether it's somebody you're dating, it doesn't matter whether it's a job, it doesn't matter whether it's a family, it doesn't matter whether it's a child, it doesn't matter whether it's anything. It's all come to take you out of the rest. And Paul says the only defense against that is to only understand to glory in your weakness.
It was strange to sit and listen to you two talk about what went down and the things that Cheryl said to you. Because those are the things that have been said a million, billion times and will be said a million, billion times more. I mean, that's all there is for somebody to say in that situation. I'm not talking about Cheryl, but I'm talking about the accusation that comes, the accusation against the brethren. I mean, that's that testing. That's what's thrown at you. And your response is, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 4.
Yeah. And you came also to the conclusion that there was no salve for that situation. There was no fix-it. That was how it is.
Let a man so account of us. Well, let's go up a little farther. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Well, let's start in verse 9. We are, again, this idea. Remember in 2 Corinthians, what the hell's it?
We're not doing anything. Look.
He's far away from me. He's married anyway.
For we, in what we just read in 2 Corinthians 6 was that being workers together, I mean, there's a work of servanthood. We're bond servants, ministers. That servanthood will take on a dimension. I mean, you don't have to worry about it. It's going to happen. If you try to figure out it and make yourself a servant, then you will pollute it by your own righteousness. If you rest, huh?
What do you mean a dimension?
There will be an outward working. There will be an outward evidence of your servanthood. The way that God, I mean, that's you first are a servant or laying down your lives to the brethren, then you lay down your lives to the world. That's the thing. That's the inevitable process. So that you're fulfilled when someone else is fulfilled. What happens to you becomes totally unimportant. It's just not an issue any longer. I promise you, that's the component of servanthood. Okay? That's the laboring together with God. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is already laid. The foundation is Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, yet he himself shall be saved, yet so as by the fire. And what that says is there is a component of reward that's beyond the pale. We can't see it. We don't know what that component is, because if we knew what it was, we'd probably try to, you know, we'd try to do it, and that's what religion tries to do. But let it be said that there is a component of reward beyond the horizon. You understand? He talked about wood, hay, and stubble. He talked about gold, silver, and...
Degrees of reward?
That's what it says.
Surprising.
Well, we don't know what it is. It's a hint.
Could be a pitfall.
It's a hint. We don't know what it is. We don't know. It's like now there's all kinds of stories about this in the Talmud. The Talmud says that there are 1,008 universes of which we will have dominion over.
They come up with stuff like that.
That's
just long.
They just guess it up.
Old
Jewish guys sit around and think up stuff.
That doesn't sound unusual.
1,013, that doesn't sound right. Yeah, something's wrong.
It is not a good figure.
But somehow there is a component of reward. I don't know what it means. I'm not intending. You can't know what it means. No one can know what it means. All right?
Yeah, my reaction is I don't really care about the reward part, because I don't think that's going to be my case, but I do care about the part.
You're getting burned by fire, Marshall.
If you do good, you get a reward, but if you fuck up, which I expect to be my case, he himself shall be saved.
All right.
That's, I'll settle for that.
Okay, well, I me too.
Yeah.
That's where I have no, I'm not, I have no illusions about being the other
guy. I wouldn't mind cutting God's lawn.
Yeah. All right. But notice that it's you're saved, but you're saved by fire, which sounds really weird.
I'm sure I understand that.
Like I say, I don't care. I just see the word saved.
Well, if you lay on the foundation, wood, hay, or stubble, that's just going to happen. But you still have a foundation.
Yeah, the foundation, see, again, in the ancient meaning of blasphemy in all languages, in all religions, all monotheistic religions, is to deny the foundation. That's what blasphemy means. And you hear the word blasphemy a lot in some circles. But to blaspheme means to deny the foundation. Now we have seen, hopefully all you have seen, that the foundation is Christ himself, Jesus Christ, the desired one, the Zen, the whatever you want, the Koma, if you believe it. He himself is your foundation, every man's foundation. Him within you, the seed of God, the sperma of God. Now, we have seen that blasphemy, for us, is a... You probably didn't want to hear this, because blasphemy for us is any time you say it isn't finished. Well, that's the most complete definition of blasphemy you can ever have.
Same thing. It's the same thing.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, if I say fuck, well, in some circles, then they accuse me of blasphemy.
Sorry, Wendell.
I heard a guy on the radio last night who was right on.
Good.
He said a lot. He said a lot of this stuff.
But blasphemy for us is that's what we don't want to do. We don't want to blaspheme. We don't want to ever forget. That's why he says, know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Now, once you know Jesus Christ is in you, then you can do nothing against the truth. You never have to worry about getting it right anymore. If you really hear what that says, Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew, or Jesus Christ in English, or Jesus Cristo in Spanish, or I can't remember how to say it in Arabic, or Farsi, but the point is, it doesn't matter what language it's spoken in, it's the idea that he himself, the word Jesus Christ, means the singular, the only saved, the desired, the saved. Once you know that whatever language you call him, that that is in you, he is in you, then you can start the trek. You know, if you don't know that, then you're still trying to perfect the flesh. You're still trying to get it right. And so from a spiritual standpoint, from our standpoint, you don't even know what it means. You're a reprobate, because if you don't know he himself is within you, then you are ever and always incapable of repentance by God's standards. Therefore, you're a reprobate. A reprobate is one who is incapable of turning from self. All he does is spend a lifetime of trying to get it right. So we got these two terrible words, reprobate and blasphemous. They're very simple. Blasphemy is if you deny the foundation. Reprobate is if you don't know the foundation's within you. Now, everything else about what we're about, God will take care of in time. It'll be tested and tried as by fire. Those are the only two things you have to know. Everything else is just icing on the cake. Everything else is a function of your joy. The more you apprehend about the finished work of God, the more you will experience joy. Your apprehension of the finished work of God has nothing to do with whether it's done or not, but it has everything to do with how much you can experience joy and peace. Right? Now again, then, with those the thing that we just said, then know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now the Spirit of God has only one function. This isn't some amorphous spirit that you can call Christ consciousness. The Spirit of God only reveals Jesus Christ. He doesn't ever speak of himself. That's why the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the unforgivable sin. To blaspheme the Holy Spirit means to deny the foundation of what the Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit is only doing one thing. He's revealing Jesus Christ. If you don't believe, therefore you by definition have blasphemed the Spirit. And you can't be forgiven if unbelief. Because otherwise all you're trying to do is improve the flesh. And God said flesh is no more to be tested. It's so simple. But we forget it so easily. Now all these wood, hay, and stubble things, the gold and silver, precious stones, they're all the idolatry that you've tried to lay on the foundation. None of the gold, none of the precious stones, and of course none of the wood, hay, and stubble, are going to pass through the fire. They'll be, because the fire is hot enough to melt every element there is. It's hot enough to melt diamonds. There's nothing in the universe that can be sensed that the fire of God, the fire of creation, will not melt. Therefore, there is no thing on the face of the earth, including little books, our little opinions, our little ideas, or I think this. Nobody gives a shit what you think. I certainly don't. You shouldn't care what I think. Nobody cares how you feel. Nobody cares about the images you have with words. You know, nobody cares. God certainly doesn't. God is concerned with one issue, the revelation of his Son. The only begotten. All right. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Now, you can take that two ways. Every one of you, the moment you read that scripture, you think, oh my God, I've defiled the temple. Right? But this word, defile, is a technical word. It means three things. It means to desecrate from a legal standpoint, to desecrate it from the standpoint of the law. And that's something we haven't studied in bananas yet. But the three ways that you desecrate the temple are to bring leprosy or raw flesh into the temple, to have failed the waters of adultery, or the water, the cup of jealousy, the cup of wrath, because you have been guilty of fornication or adultery. And the ashes, the waters that are connected with the ashes of the red heifer, because you have touched a dead body. Now, those three things and the offenses connected with those three things are by the law the only way you can defile a temple. It doesn't matter what every religion in the world says, oh, you're defiling the temple if you smoke. Or you're defiling the temple if you don't eat right. You know, you hear all this New Age bullshit about, they all of them say you're the temple of God. So therefore you should eat right and drink right and be happy and listen to the Oasis.
I'm also waiting for that.
And meditate. Yeah. Keep your mind in.
Oh, God. The right pH for your mind.
Don't have any acid rain and let's nuke a gay whale for Christ.
I remember when I used to hear that about getting ears pierced. You should follow the temple of God not by getting your ears pierced.
Do you understand? There's only three ways that word, if you had, a freshman Greek student would know that word defile there is the technical word which means the three things that are connected with the waters of purification under the law. And this law is the law that is the law of Islam, the law of Yahweh, the law of Jesus Christ. The three great religions, the only monotheistic religions in the world, that technical term is the only way of defiling the temple. All right.
This is a great, the construction of the sentence is great. It says, if any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy. It doesn't say he's going to destroy the temple. He's going to destroy the man who defiles the temple.
Okay, but again, from the standpoint, that has many other components too. In the Psalms it says, touch not mine anointed, nor do my holy prophets no harm. Now, and also in the law it says, the fear of you and the dread of you shall be in every creature. It says, men shall fear you if you're his disciple. Now, touch not mine anointed, nor do my holy prophets no harm. If you believed that you were the anointed of God, but that was your life, you would walk through life with the grace, simplicity, and elegance of the perfect solution. There would be nothing in the universe, no legal system, no government, no demon from hell, no stupid little irritant that could ever touch you. Nothing could affect the charm, the grace, and the elegance of that particular understanding. Now, I guarantee you this is true. I've seen it too many times. I've seen too many things happen. And I don't mean to sound weird, but since the day I've been a believer, every time someone tried to do me harm, they were hurt. And I don't care. I don't care what can somebody do to me. Now, that same inheritance is yours. You are his anointed. Because Christ is his anointed, and Christ is your life, and for you to live is Christ. Now, don't you see? How many things would stop bugging you if you knew that? What possible thing could bug you? Know you not that you are the temple of God? Temple isn't holy. It's only what's in the temple that's holy. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. To be wise in the world means that you speak of the world. You speak of the world and have these solutions and stuff. And John says in 1 John that, you know, they speak of the world, therefore the world heareth them. That's how you know they're false. Anytime you hear words that are connected with solving some problem in the world or addressing to the world, you know it's by definition from the evil one. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. I know he did, because he took me. He so fucked me up, he so faked me out, that it's unbelievable. All right.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful.
He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and again the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vanity. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. How can you strive for anything that's already yours? That's the stupidity of lust. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. Now that's the predicate for this next section. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of God and the stewards of the mystery of God. God only cares about stewardship of that mystery, the hope of glory, Jesus Christ in you. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not thereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. God's interest is that you be a Jew, whether you like it or not. But his definition of a Jew is totally different than anybody else on the face of the earth. His definition of a Jew is one whose heart is circumcised. The test of whether your heart is circumcised is whether or not you require the praise of men. If you require the praise or honor of men for your sustenance, then your heart is just still in the process of being circumcised. From his standpoint, a believer is one who does not require the praise of men. Period. It's a very simple test. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. In other words, he's saying, for the purposes of this discussion, he and Apollos are just types, a pattern, a metaphor, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up, one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now if you did receive it, why do you glory as though you had not received it? In other words,
Amen.
How can you possibly take credit for anything? You know, there's nothing any of you have or possess that isn't a gift of God. Period. Now he applies some tests to this process. Now you are full. Now you are rich. Now you've reigned as kings without us. And I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you, but implicit in the proper time. Remember, this is all about timing. All things are yours. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable and seek after honor, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Well, you're saying, ha, huh, that's just for the apostles. I know, this is a great time to start believing in dispensationalism. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. And here's the kicker. Wherefore, because of that, I beg of you, be followers of me. In that road of being made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things, being defamed, not being too successful by anybody's standards. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that's enough. Take it big guy.